Welcome to Locked On Angels, your daily podcast covering the LA Angels of Anaheim. I am not Taylor Blake Ward. I am Jason JD Hernandez, just across the street from Catella, and I am pinch hitting once again for the somewhat sick Taylor Blake Ward, who is still battling, I guess, what exactly is it, a sore throat? I mean, Taylor's here, but he's battling a little bit.
It's a cold. It's a cold. It's just a bad cold.
I'm sorry to hear. Well, I mean, it has been a little bit chilly here in SoCal the past few days. We've had snow in late March. Can you believe that?
Yeah, last night, even.
Yeah. So that is me, that is Taylor, and we have a third guest joining us from the former home of the Kingdome, Locked On Mariners. It is DC Lundberg. DC, how's it going?
I'm not Taylor Blake Ward either, but I'm doing okay.
So I mentioned the Kingdome for a reason. It's an anniversary of sorts today, isn't it?
Yes, it's a kind of a bittersweet anniversary for Mariners fans. 20 years ago today, March 26th, 2000, the Kingdome was imploded.
So the Kingdome imploded.
Yes, it did.
What is your favorite memory from the Kingdome that you went to?
My specific favorite memory from the Kingdome, maybe the last game at the Kingdom. I went to so many games at the Kingdom that it's tough to pin down just one, but maybe the last game at the Kingdom, because they had an on-field presentation with current Mariners, former Mariners, talking about their experiences in the Kingdom, their favorite memories. And there was a streaker late in the game. Edgar Martinez was ejected. It was plus the Mariners won. And Kenny Griffey Jr. hit the last home run in the history of the Kingdome, which was in right field, maybe about 10, 12 people to my right and three rows behind me.
Oh, so you were in vicinity.
I was very, very nearby, yes.
Which means if we see video of that home run, we could probably see where you're at.
I've looked for myself and I couldn't find me.
Well, we'll keep investigating the different camera angles, Zapruder style. So,
look for the dorky 14-year-old with some sort of bad mullet or something like that. Yeah.
So Wednesday night, Rob Manfred, the commissioner of MLB, he went on SportsCenter and he talked about baseball in general, what's going to happen as far as playoff goes, possible schedule changes. But he also talked about the Red Sox. The fact that the Red Sox investigation is over and that there will be some kind of report before play returns. And as far as we know, the Red Sox are accused of, I mean, I don't know what exactly they're accused of. It's not as sophisticated as the Houston Astros per se, but they were definitely accused of cheating, right?
I think that they were accused of using the team's video rooms to relay signs to their hitters somehow. Which, you know, and we have to remember Alex Cora was a member of the Houston Astros staff prior to his managerial stint with the Red Sox. So he probably brought some of that over.
So, I mean, what kind of punishment do you think is going to go down on Cora?
I think you're going to see something very, it may even be more so than what Jeff Luhnow and AJ Hinch had. Because it seems like Alex Cora was one of the orchestrators of this basically the cheating scandal in general.
So what are we thinking? More than 1 year, more than 2 years, maybe?
DC, you got anything?
No, not really. I mean, the other part of it is that the public reaction was so negative to the punishments that happened that were bestowed upon the Astros I feel like Manfred may want to feel like he has to overcorrect in this part and hand down harsher punishments. So if AJ Hinch and Jeff Luhnow both got a year, maybe Alex Cora gets two or more. I have no idea.
I have no idea either. I mean, I'm thinking it's 2 to 3 years personally, because he was part of both the Astros and the Red Sox. And maybe I was somewhat surprised that Alex Cora got zero punishment for the Astros thing. So I'm wondering if there will be some carryover from that as well. Or is that even possible?
There might be. I guess it could. The thing that Manfred wanted to punish the Astros for, he didn't want to punish players that had moved on to other teams, because that would hurt those teams. But does that go for staff as well? I don't know.
I don't think you want to hurt the teams all that much. I mean, the Astros could have been punished more. They could have taken international money. They could have easily been punished more. So maybe, I don't know if that sets a precedence or if it is a precursor to the type of punishments that's to come later. That's what I'm just kind of wondering about. How badly are the Red Sox going to get it? I don't know. I don't know what Manfred's going to do.
I mean, I don't know either, but I think it was interesting that he went on ESPN to make this announcement, which means he obviously wanted to cover it up because nobody watches ESPN anymore. So it was kind of a nice place to get that out of the way with nobody watching. I'm kidding, of course.
When it's Scott Van Pelt.
I was going to say, Scott Van Pelt, what a professional, man. That guy is I think all of us aspire to be. He's cool, classy, calm, but man, you talk about professional. That guy is like the total package. I know that. I think he makes the most among all reporters, sports-related reporters, but, man, he deserves it. He's special, man. He's great. I thought it was a great interview.
It was completely done. Even keel, he went right to the facts. I mean, they talked about a lot of stuff. They also talked about the possibility of a different playoff system should this baseball season resume, and we assume it will resume at some point in 2020. And I want to ask both of you.
Quick, hold on real quick. Jason, do you believe that we will presume play? Because based on the conversations we've had, I think DC and I believe there will be season, but do you believe that there will be a season this year?
I've been a bit of a pessimist recently for good reason, and they both know this very well. Do I believe that there will be baseball this season? I'm going to say yes, I think there will be baseball this season. How many games? Definitely not 162 or 144. Maybe not even 120. I think it'll be a very shortened season this year with no All-Star game.
What did you tell me like a week ago?
That there'd be no baseball.
That is not what you just said.
That there'd be no baseball. That there'd be no baseball at all.
So what's changed in the last week, JD?
I'm gonna expose you on this, yeah.
But I'm going to say there's definitely not going to be an All-Star game this year.
That's fair. I can agree with that.
No All-Star game, which sucks because it was supposed to be here in SoCal. I would have so looked forward to that, but no. Yeah, if there's baseball, it's going to be maybe 100 games, if that. So I'm starting to be somewhat more optimistic, but I don't think it's going to be nearly as many games as fans would like.
No.
No, I think you're looking at half season. I think you're looking at 81 games.
Yeah.
I think you're pushing the season further back into the fall.
Do they have to play an even number of games, though? So wouldn't it be 82 or 80, or could they play an odd number of games?
I don't know.
Oh, that's right. Really, because each team has to play evenly because there's 30 teams. So it would have to be an even amount. So maybe they can go NBA style and go 82 games.
Which is one over half, which is, yeah.
Yeah, that's not bad.
Yeah.
Or they can go AHL style and have different amounts of games for each team and just go off playoff percentage or point percentage.
Hard pass.
Yeah, I think I'll pass on that one too. Or they could go NFL and do 16 games, which would not make sense at all. But, you know.
4-4 game series to just define the season.
Everybody just plays within their own division. You know, everything's tossed out the window. Yeah.
Opening day was supposed to be yesterday, and it's not. And it makes me sad. If we had our way, we'd be watching baseball today, but that is not the case. We're supposed to have baseball right now, as we speak, during the daytime. We got to get out there and get our vitamin D. We got to stay healthy, I guess.
No guessing there, buddy.
Yeah, although at this time, getting out and remaining healthy are not the same thing right now.
No, and I don't feel very healthy, and I'm not getting out, so I don't know where we're going with this one.
We got to head to a break shortly, but it is time to promote, and sell stuff. So, DC, why don't you take the lead on this, please?
Well, I think I shall. Thank you very much, sir. Hey, gang, do you hate stepping on the scale? Maybe it's because you haven't met the right one. Well, a company called Withings produced the world's first smart scale, and gang, they are still the best. In fact, Tom's Guide rated Withings Body Plus the best overall smart scale for 2020. If you're looking to lose weight, willpower is key, but so is having the right tools. With Ings, smart scales are known for durability and an exceptionally user-friendly design. Step on and data from every weigh-in syncs automatically to the free app for iOS and Android via Wi-Fi or Bluetooth. Lots of smart scales don't have this Wi-Fi option, and that means you have to have your phone on you. But With Ings Body Plus gives weight, full body composition, weight trend, and even a local weather report. The scale can support up to 8 users, of course, all at different times, and even know who is who. So here's the deal. You can get 25% off a With Ings Body Plus right now at withings.com for a very limited time. Go to withings.com, that's withings.com/MLB, to get 25% off Body Plus Body Composition Scale. Once again, withings.com/MLB to get 25% off Body Plus Body Composition Scale. Back to you, JD.
Ah, thank you very much, DC. And after the break, we're going to talk about the All Angels team. Have you voted yet? Stay locked in. Welcome back to Locked On Angels, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. And DC, you said something right now that kind of got me on tilt a little bit. You said that the Jim Edmonds catch might be a little overplayed. What?
Keywords might be and a little. Okay. Or key phrases, I should say.
Oh, come on. It's not played enough. That's one of the that's one of the greatest catches in Major League Baseball history. It's right up It's right up there with Willie Mays at the Polo Grounds.
Oh, I don't know if I'd go that far. The Polo Grounds is 460 feet to center field.
It's right up there with Mike Trout at Camden Yards.
I mean, okay.
Or Mike Trout at Angel Stadium.
Which one?
The Jesus Montero one.
All right, that's a good one. We're just talking about greatest center field catches, and the reason we're talking about that is because fans, if you check on Taylor Blake Ward's personal Twitter, which is at Taylor Blake Ward, appropriately enough, you will see the latest poll. And yesterday we had a poll about the greatest player in Halo's history, along with other strong candidates who are not Mike Trout. I, of course, voted for Jim Edmonds because if you heard Wednesday's show, I think that is the greatest catch or one of the greatest catches in MLB history, his amazing back-to-the-ball catch in Kansas City. Hey, that's not a short center field either. That's 410 feet. That is not short. That's amazing. That's right up there with Willie Mays Hayes.
Oh, boy.
Don't ever do that again. Of course, I can't say the actual phrase he said, but whatever.
Yeah. I mean, I voted for Jim Edmonds, but I know what everyone else is going to vote for. I mean, Mike Trout is probably the greatest player in Angels history. No, he is the greatest player in Angels history. Probably the greatest player of our generation. Might be the greatest of all time.
Who would be better in this generation? And that's a serious question. I'm not being a smartass. Who would be the best? Who would be on par with Mike Trout as the best player of this generation?
I don't know if I could give an answer, funny or serious.
I don't know if I could either.
Yeah.
I mean, for...
How far back are we talking our generation?
Let's say the last 15 years.
Last 15 years?
Yeah.
Albert?
Maybe, yeah.
Albert is up there.
Ichiro, Miggy? Perhaps, maybe. I don't know.
Miggy was on another level for a few years.
Yeah, he was. Yeah.
I know he probably won't get the credit for it, but Joe Mauer and Buster Posey.
Particularly Mauer, considering what market he played in, yeah.
Yeah, those two really changed the way catching is. Okay, yeah, I'll give you Joe Mauer and Buster Posey. They were great. But
still, none of them hold a bar to Mike Trout.
No, and Mike Trout, I think, is entering his prime right now. I think he's not done by a long shot.
Which is incredibly scary.
So let me carry on just from this, and because we didn't really have a plan for today's show. I feel like junk, and Jason and DC kind of just they're helping me out big time here. But for you guys, let's do Hall of Famer or not. I mean, we've done this before on other shows, but we've done it without names. But how about just some names here? How about Joe Mauer?
I think Joe Mauer could be a legit Hall of Famer. I don't know about a first ballot, but I think he's definitely deserving of Hall of Fame.
And what about Buster Posey? And DC, sorry I cut in on you, but...
That's all right. As far as malware is concerned, I got his numbers up here. And also considering he was a catcher, I'll say absolutely for him. His career average was 306. He led the league in hitting three times, in on-base percentage twice, and in slugging once. He hit a high of 365 in 2009, wound up playing some first base towards the end of his career, was not a huge home run hitter, but got some doubles. I think these are Hall of Fame numbers, especially for a catcher.
And how about Buster?
I think if Mike Trout hadn't come around, I think Buster Posey is the face of baseball. But there was a period of time where Buster Posey was the face of baseball.
Yeah.
Yeah, for a little while.
I mean, he literally was the face of baseball for a five-year span, and he was winning championships. He was playing the toughest position to play in the field, in my opinion. I mean, some people say shortstop, but Buster Posey and Joe Mauer, no doubt for me.
Buster Posey's a Hall of Famer. His batting average is similar to Mauer's, maybe with a little bit less power and less on base, but he was also a very, very good catcher. And I'll take a 302 batting average, 370 and 470. 456 slash line from a catcher any day of the week. Those are terrific numbers.
Considering how low some of the numbers are for catchers in general these days, I think I'd agree with that, because when you look at elite catchers right now, there's not that many. Catching is thin.
It's very thin, and Posey plays the position very well, or at least did for a while. Still does.
And so did Mauer. Mauer absolutely the same way.
Yeah.
I mean, right now, who are the best catchers right now?
Best catcher in baseball?
Yeah.
Real Muto.
Yeah, I will agree with that, definitely.
Real Muto, is top.
Muto and probably Grandal.
How about Wilson Contreras?
No.
No?
He can't catch. I mean, he can catch, but he's not a good catcher.
All right, I'll give you that. So just to reiterate once again, if you guys haven't voted, make sure to check out at Taylor Blake Ward to vote for the All Angels team. Right field is going to be tough.
You know, before we jump in real quick, I would throw Tom Murphy into the top five catchers in baseball right now. Now that we're with DC.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, I like Murphy, but I never considered him that elite of a, I think that just goes to show, and this is not to take a rip at Tom Murphy, because he is a fine catcher, a very good defender, and a capable bat, but I never put him at that elite level. And if you're putting him in the top five, that just kind of shows how thin the position is at the elite level.
I mean, you're not wrong.
I mean, and again, not to take a swipe at Tom Murphy. He's one of my favorites on the Mariners right now. I report on the Mariners, but I'm also a Mariners fan, gang. I like, especially when he pitched last year. That was so much fun. But and the other part of it is Scott Servais says that he's probably going to catch about 55% of the games. He's not even really. It's a platoon situation with the Mariners. Austin Nola's going to catch the other 45%. So, but I like Murphy. I like Murphy. He's got a power bat, and he's a good defender. Now I feel like I have to say good things about him, because I feel like I took a swipe at him and I didn't mean it that way.
So what other nice things can you say about Tom Murphy right now?
He's got a good slider, but he's not going to pitch again.
Hey, there are worse things in the world. First, okay, speaking of that little rule, or quote-unquote rule that's taking place this year, isn't it sad that Rob Manfred is trying to suck away the fun by having less position players pitch unless there are certain... I guess, qualifications for that.
I did an entire episode on the rule changes about a month ago on Locked On Mariners. And if you listen to that show, gang, you can see that my feelings for those rules are not exactly positive.
So what exactly are your feelings about that particular rule in about 20 seconds?
Bleep, 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 and bleep. There, I saved you 16 seconds.
Nice.
Well, now 13 from talking about it, now 9, so forget it.
All right, Taylor, what's your take on that player position pitching rule? bleep
what
as well
DC said, but yeah what DC said,
bleep Rob Manfred, be better.
That's I think I've said that on the show before too.
I think you actually used the phrase be better once.
I think I have.
Yeah.
I really do.
Mm-hmm. Before we head off, I briefly mentioned the All Angels team. Who do you got in right field as far as the best Angel right fielder of all time? Just from your perspective, Taylor.
From my perspective, it's down to two, even though you've got four really good candidates. I mean, Cole Calhoun would be my fourth, and he's a pretty good one. Torrey Hunter would be my third, and he's, you know, Torrey Hunter. I mean, huge. It comes down to Vlad Guerrero and Tim Salmon for me, and probably because of longevity, I give it to Tom Salmon. Or Tom Salmon. Wow. Tom Murphy. Tim Salmon. I give it to Tim Salmon. Probably just because of longevity. I mean, you know, Vlad Guerrero was my favorite player growing up, but at the same time, you can't ignore the numbers. And being an Angel for his entire career, you know, that's where it sits for me. It's pretty easy. I said that Tim Salmon spent his entire career with the Angels, and then I was going to say, oh, wait, he had that 1 year with the Dodgers, but then I was thinking of Garrett Anderson, who had the 1 year with the Dodgers. Tim Salmon was an Angel his entire career.
He was his entire 14-year career, 15 if you include 2005, where he did not play at all because of the injuries. Injuries really kind of derailed him towards the end, which is a shame. He still put up very, very good numbers: 282, 385, 498 slash line, 299 home runs, 339 doubles, 1,016 runs batted in, a career OPS plus of 128, and he never made an all-star team. How is this possible? I would give it to Tim Salmon, especially because of the longevity. And I think his defense was superior to Vlad Guerrero's when Vlad was an Angel, at least. Salmon was – I saw one of my scouting magazines list called Salmon in right field, quote, the prototype, end quote.
Ooh, I'm going to make it a true. I'm going to make it a clean sweep. I also thank Tim Salmon for the longevity for the Angels. He is more beloved out there, and you touched on it. I think the defense with Vlad as an Angel was very good. He did have some great throws from right field. He's got a cannon of an arm. But I think the more defensive plays I see from Vlad came with his time as a Montreal Expo. So I have to give it to Tim Salmon for that reason as well. So
I think Salmon was a more complete outfielder than Guerrero was. Guerrero had the great arm, don't get me wrong. But Salmon could throw too, and I think he was a more complete package out there.
Yeah. I think if Vlad had spent a few more years in Anaheim, I think we'd be singing a different tune there.
Yeah. Maybe. I cannot say for sure.
Is that it? We've talked about everything. Yeah, we're at that time.
I've always been a big Tim Salmon fan, but I've always been a Vlad fan too. I like them both.
How can you not like both of them?
I know that Vladimir Guerrero is in the Hall of Fame as an Angel. I it's hard for me to picture him in any other uniform than an Expos uniform. But that's just because that's when I grew up.
Same here, to be honest. That's what I remember him as. I mean, yeah. He's very beloved in Montreal, too. I mean, I could tell stories about his time in Montreal and the fact that I was there when he was, I guess, brought back to Montreal. But I'll save that for another day. DC, where can everyone find you and your podcast?
Well, JD, I'm so glad you asked. They can find my podcast, Locked On Mariners, right here on the Locked On Podcast Network. This week and next week, we are taking a look back at the Lou Piniella years of the Seattle Mariners, going year by year, and not necessarily in order. A couple weeks ago, we looked at the greatest Mariners of all time, position by position, with Locked On contributor John Miller. And we have some other historical stuff planned for kind of this hiatus as we're waiting for Major League Baseball. The show has a Twitter address at @LO_Mariners. And I am on Twitter as well at @DC_Lundberg, which is LUNDBERG for those scoring at home.
And Taylor, I guess everyone knows where they can find you. So why don't you just repeat it for those that don't know?
Yeah, for the most part. Thanks, everyone, for listening to today's show and bearing with me. And, you know, I trust Jason at DC to come on the show and bring you high-quality content, and that's what they did today. So definitely follow their work, Locked On Anaheim Ducks, Locked On Mariners. Follow them on Twitter if you desire to do so. You can follow me on Twitter at Taylor Blake Ward. And obviously, you're listening to Locked On Angels, but if you want to download today's show or subscribe, you can do it through all podcasting outlets.
Which includes Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, what have you. However you listen to our Locked On shows. And they can find me at Locked On Anaheim Ducks. And on Twitter, you can find me at @LO_Ducks or at StimpyJD, as in Ren and Stimpy. And I know they've been playing that a lot more recently because I'm a big Ren and Stimpy fan. And they've been playing that a lot more on Nick Flashbacks because there is nothing else to do on this time of quarantine except watch old baseball games and watch old cartoons. But that's okay because there's a lot of great classic baseball games. Heck, I might watch that Jim Edmonds catch about 50 more times.
Somebody mentioned that Trout, I guess, robbed Jesus Montero. I'm surprised that he ever hit a ball hard enough to be robbed of a home run.
Oh,
DC, go back and look. Do you not know what I'm talking about?
I do.
You got to watch this one.
Was meant as a swipe at Jesus Montero.
It worked. No, Jesus, man. Yeah. Yay, Jesus Montero, the greatest prospect ever, and he's not that good.
Ooh.
No, I didn't like his bat speed. When he came up to the Mariners and I saw him play, I was like, this kid has no bat speed. How was he ever a top prospect? He was never anything to write home about as a catcher. He was lazy. He didn't want to work. He wound up as a DH first baseman who liked ice cream sandwiches.
And with that said, I'm going to go get some ice cream sandwiches off the air right now. Thanks to Taylor for letting me take over for a couple days. I appreciate it.
And absolutely, man. Thank you for doing it.
And DC, thank you for coming on.
Speaking of off the air, I probably should have left my comments about Montero off the air, but I'm sorry about that. You're welcome for coming on, though. Yes, I appreciate it.
You're not sorry. You're not sorry, are you?
And it, kind of. Yes, kind of.
And thank you all for listening very much. And make sure to rate, comment, and subscribe if you have not already. For Locked On Angels, that was the real host, Taylor Blake Ward, and also coming in DC Lundberg. I'm Jason JD Hernandez, saying make sure to cross your T's, dot your I's, have a good weekend, and stay nasty, Anaheim.